All right. Would you put your hand to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 22? 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 22. We're going to embark on a new series over the next 5 weeks. You know, we spend much of our time in the congregation as we look to the Word of God, focusing our perspectives on being built up, on changing, being transformed to be more like Jesus, conformed to His image. How many want to be conformed to the image of Jesus? Yes. That's a very right and biblical perspective. Now, some churches, and this is not intended to be critical, it's simply reality, some churches spend all their time in outreach while there is no growth for those who are already reached. Some are so seeker-sensitive that they cease to become as God-sensitive as they should be. But folks, it's also fresh birth, new birth, and fresh growth that has to happen to a normal living organism and church if it's to grow. How many understand we are surrounded by a dying world? We are surrounded by people who need the Lord. Say to each other, people need the Lord. A big statement. It's a big statement. People. Big generic statement. Stop long enough to get in your mind's eye a picture of your next door neighbor. How are they doing? He or she doing with the Lord? Maybe there's a prayer need. Maybe they love the Lord, but there's a physical affliction, or there's a need in their soul of some sort. Thank you. Or maybe there's someone you work with, or someone you used to work with, that you know you have a burden for, who needs to give their life to Jesus. The Apostle Paul labored in love, and he traveled over the known world at that time, at peril to his own life, over and over and over again, to share Jesus with people who needed him. You know, God loves people more than anything. He'd rather die than let them go. God loves people more than anything. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 22. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 22. And I have a lot of these up on transparency this morning, but I'd love you to turn to this one in your own Bible, because I think it's important to have this perspective so you can turn to it again later and check the verses out before and check the verses out after. Paul is pouring out his heart here. There, remember, in Corinthians, what he's dealing with is a church of people that are on fire for the Lord. They love him. But the background from which these people have been called out of is a strictly Jewish background. And the Jewish people felt they were the ones who were of God. And they're the only ones who could be saved. They're the ones that had a corner on the God market. And then the Apostle Paul has this radical transformation in his life with Jesus. And Jesus changes him. The church is birthed. And all of a sudden, multitudes are coming to Christ. But some people, the Judaizers, remember who were the Judaizers? Those who wanted the law of Moses to be put first and foremost on the Christians. These new Christians are running around saying, I'm saved by grace. And the Judaizers are running around saying, but you've got to keep the law of Moses and you better be circumcised. What's true? We're saved by grace. How many glad? Amen. But what's happening here is Paul is coming against a perspective that Jesus is only for a few. Jesus is only for just a slim segment of the population. And in verse 22, he's led up to this point, and now he's declaring, to the weak I became as weak, that I might win the weak. Say the next phrase with me. I'm reading from the New King James. You might have a different translation, but the theme is the same. I have become all things to all men. And watch this next phrase. That I might by all means save some. Paul isn't talking about compromising his faith. Paul isn't talking about turning his back on Jesus. Paul isn't talking about going out and sinning in order to reach those who are sinners. But Paul is saying, I come with a humility and a grace, and I come leading by the love of God to reach out to everybody who need Him. that I might by all means save some. Message theme this morning, and the title is called Reach Out in Love. And over the next 5 weeks, we're going to be talking about evangelism. We're going to be talking about that which is healthy and that which is appropriate for us as a congregation and that which is what we need to do. Good news. Look at each other, say, good news. Say it loud in each other's ears. Shake up an eardrum or two. Good news. Do you know, for generations, when people have shared about Jesus, it doesn't come out like good news. It comes out like, repent, you thinner. Oh, I'm sorry. That was a little joke. I threw the punchline in. It comes out, repent, you sinner. Yeah, sorry. Get an umbrella if you're in the front row. Listen, the message is true. God is a holy God. He's the one who determines what's righteous and what's not. Without Him, we're lost. We are sinners. But you know, the first part of our message should be, don't you know how much God loves you? Jesus loves you. He created you for a dynamic purpose. He knows the numbers of hair on your head and the lack thereof. We'll move right on. He knows. He knows whether your hair is long or short. He knows. Whether you're 160 pounds or not, He knows. And it doesn't matter. He loves you. The good news. Say it again. The good news. No, say it again like you really mean it. Declare it to me. The good news. We've got good news. We've got great news. And there are people all around us who need to hear the good news. Just in the last couple of days, huge volcanoes erupt. Sports stars crash. The Kentucky Derby, an incredible horse won, but an absolutely beautiful filly had to be put down. Sad news. Tragic news. Interest rates are low, but it's hard to get money for a mortgage. For some of us, that's really tragic news. Gas prices are skyrocketing and food prices are up. Man, is there any good news? You know, I'll tell you one thing. This is a little aside. The Bible says pray for all men, and we especially need to pray for our leadership. It doesn't matter to me whether or not you like our current president. He is our current president, and there's a man who needs prayer. The polls can try to destroy anybody. It doesn't matter whether you like all his policies. What matters is let's pray for one another and keep him in prayer. But there's a lot of bad news. But there's good news in Jesus and his church. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. Good news. Come to grace. Come to Jesus. Come to where you're loved. And when you come to the house of God, what should you find? Love. Romans 10, verses 13 through 15. And now I'll have quite a number of scriptures. Romans 10, 13 through 15, reading out of the New King James. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of what? The gospel of peace. The gospel, word gospel means good news. Who bring glad tidings of good things. Do you bring those kind of tidings to your friends and neighbors? To people you work with? Take a look at your feet. Are they beautiful? God says they are. You know why? Because when you walk toward me or toward someone who needs Him, you've got the message of love, of grace, of deliverance, of the fact that Jesus Christ loves them and died for them and rose again from the dead. Now, is being a sinner part of the message? Sure. But don't lead with that which is going to bash somebody in the face. Tell them the truth. The reason God did this is because they are so loved by Him. Say amen, someone. Powerful stuff. Out of the Message Bible. Listen to this out of the Message. Everyone who calls, help God, gets help. But how can people call for help if they don't know who to trust? Isn't that an issue in our society today? How can they know who to trust if they haven't heard of the one who can be trusted? How can they hear if nobody tells them? How is anyone going to tell them unless someone is sent to do it? That's why Scripture exclaims, a sight to take your breath away. Grand possessions or processions of people telling all the good things of God. Tell them the good things of God. When somebody believes in Jesus, he calls on Jesus. Calls out to God. Believing in turn is based on hearing, the Bible says. And hearing is based on someone preaching. And how can they preach unless they are sent? And the word preach means to herald, to announce. By the way, preaching is not limited to that which is done at the pulpit. We all herald and announce good news, right? The word evangelize in the Greek is euangelizo. Euangelizo. And it means to announce good news, glad or good tidings. The word evangelist, which is in the Scripture, euangelitase, a preacher of the good news. And people look at me and go, I could never be an evangelist. I couldn't do it. I'm too chicken. They don't say it quite that way, but anybody ever feel like you can cluck like a chicken? Go ahead. Let me see it. Go ahead. Very good. Stand up and demonstrate for us, Paula. Okay, all right, we'll take a moment. Lead us all in this here, Paula. Come on, here we go. Cesar, demonstration lesson this morning. Go ahead, what is it now?
Var so good.
So var so good. Oh, sorry. Var so good. Okay, all right, everybody get your wings out. Var so good. Now look. You can look at me and say, you shouldn't say that about me, but I know that about you because you're like me. Sometimes we're chicken. You see somebody who has a need and it isn't always the first thing you do, running up to them and say, Jesus loves you, let me pray for you. Because var so good. We make it a lot more complex than it has to be. A lot more complex. I don't know enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not a preacher. What do? Love Jesus and love people. Just plain love Jesus and love people. And tell them some good news. Can you do that, church? Tell them some good news. John the Baptist is sitting in prison. He knows he's going to die. He's had a powerful ministry, short but powerful. He prophesied over it, baptized Jesus himself. And he knew in his head that Jesus is the Messiah. He's the real deal. He baptized him and he prophesied. But now, times are tough. And he's facing a certain death. And he sends a couple of disciples to Jesus to find out, listen to the passion of it. Are you really the one? You can just hear the heart, or shouldn't we be looking for somebody else? Are you really the one? Watch the answer. Luke 7, verses 20 to 22. Luke 7, 20 to 22. John's two disciples found Jesus and said to him, John the Baptist sent us to ask, are you the Messiah we've been expecting? I'm reading now out of the New Living. Or should we keep looking for someone else? John 7, 22 through 22. Verse 21. At that very time, He, Jesus, cured many people of their various diseases. He cast out evil spirits. He restored sight to the blind. Verse 22. Then he told John's disciples, can you hear now? Think of this. See it in your mind's eye. Think of the compassion, the love Jesus must have had in his heart for this man, John the Baptist, who went through terrible difficulties on behalf of God to set the way for Jesus' coming. Go back and tell John. Go tell him what you've seen and heard. The blind see. The lame walk. The lepers are cured. The deaf hear and the dead are raised to life. Go back and tell John the good news is being preached to the poor. Say with me this phrase. I am a gift. Say it again. I am a gift. Now turn to each other, say, I am your gift. If you don't know the person sitting next to you, don't blow them away. It's okay. Church, you're a gift. You are a gift from God to your neighbor. You are a gift from God to the people you work with, to those you see at the beach club. You're a gift from God. God brought you into their life and them into your life. A Bible teacher always used to say, God either blesses you or afflicts you with people according to your need. Pray for them. Live your walk with Jesus in front of them. Now maybe you were like me. You gave your life to Jesus. Man, I was a young buck, 16 years old, gave my life to Jesus. I had preacher's itch. I wanted to go for it. I was going to be a preacher, and you better read the book or cook. You better turn or burn. And I found that it didn't help too much to shove Jesus down throats. More important than my pressure, but the words are important. Oftentimes we excuse away the sharing by saying, oh, well, just live it. That's true. But we also need to share it. But more important than my words at that time was some credibility that I needed in my life. Stop lying and tell the truth. Stop showing up way too late or taking from the boss's time and start giving him more than he's paying me for. Start forgiving when it's not easy. Isn't that where the rubber hits the road? Come on. Can I ask you an honest question? Am I talking to the right people? Has anybody ever offended anybody ever? Did you intend to?
No.
Come on. Oh, I see a couple of you going, well, yeah. And it felt good. Shows you how much we need Jesus, doesn't it? Sometimes we do things and we don't intend to do it. And that's where we get to forgive. Repent and forgive. Words are crucial, but the accompanying life is vital. Watch what happens. John chapter 1, verses 6 through 12, and I'm just going to read a couple of verses from there. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. I want you to fill in your own. If you're a woman, say a woman, and then your name. All right? There was a man sent from God whose name was Kevin. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. Verse 8, he was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. In verse 12, but as many as received him, Jesus, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. Church, keep it simple. How do we do this, Pastor Kev? I got that whatever Swedish thing going here, and I don't have my degree in evangelisticity, and you know, that was a new word, a little joke there. But. Okay, three people thought it was funny. Good. Let's move right on. Let's cut that one out of the message, Dan. It bombed. Okay. Keep it simple. You know how evangelism works best? Share what you've seen and heard. Say it one more time with me. Share what you've seen and heard. Share what you've experienced. John 1, 37 through 41. The two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and seeing them following, said to them, what do you seek? They said to him, Rabbi, which is to say when translated teacher. Where are you staying? He said to them, come and see. They came and saw where he was staying and remained with him that day. Now it was about the 10th hour. Verse 40, one of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Now let's see how this works. He first found his own brother, Simon, and said to him, hey, we found the Messiah. Was that complex? Did he have 30 reasons to convince him? He just shared what he'd experienced. John 1, 44 through 45. Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, we have found him, of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. John 3, verse 11, most assuredly I say, John 3, verse 11, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen. Would you read that verse with me, please? Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen. Is that hard? Is that complex? They just shared what they'd seen and heard. John 3:32. And what he has seen and heard, that he testifies. Acts 4:20. We cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Acts 22:15. For you will be his witness to all men of what you have, say it with me, seen and heard. 1 John 1:3. That which we have, say it with me please, seen and heard, we declare to you, that you may also have fellowship with us. Truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. What you've seen and heard. And mostly, how do we do this? Mostly, love them like God loves them. Love people like Jesus loves people. John 3:16-17. Please quote it out loud with me. But look at the first phrase as you do. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Now, to be fair, verse 18 goes on to say that if you do not believe, you are condemned already. There is reality. Not everyone is going to surrender their life to Jesus. But you know, we have opportunity to be salt and light in this world. You can either be salt in a wound because people already have them deeply, or you can be salt and light and healing and life. Now, if they reject your message, at least let them know you lovingly tried. Mostly, love them like God loves them. So we're going to do a series on evangelism over this week and the next four after this. Good news for your neighbor. Good news for your friend, family. Good news to reach out beyond ourselves and to see people all over this area come to Jesus. How many want to see people everywhere come to Jesus? I want to see people come to Jesus, don't you? Isn't that why? I mean, one of the reasons why we're here. See, the kingdom of God come on earth as it is in heaven. What are our goals? To be conformed to His image. But not just for me to have a party with Jesus. That's good. I should have a party with Jesus. But to bring as many as I can with me to that party. Amen? Amen. To stop people from going to hell. To let them know Jesus loves them. To help bring as many to heaven as we can. The Barna Group shared some statistics. Listen to this. Nearly half, 45% of all Americans who accept Jesus as their Savior do so before reaching the age of 13. 2 out of 3 born-again Christians, 64%, accept Jesus Christ as their Savior before their 18th birthday. 1 out of 8 born-again people, 13%, made their profession of faith while 18 to 21. Now, church, you look at me and I agree with you. We're surrounded by a whole lot of people around here who are beyond that age group. Does that mean they don't come to Christ? Not at all. It means we need to make sure we're praying that God will open hearts and that the message is accepted. It doesn't mean they can't. It means they need to, and even more so how much people need to come to Christ, right? How many know exactly when your end is? We do know by the law of averages and odds, that as I get older, it's closer. Say amen or oh no. Are you ready to see Jesus? Now, I love Him. I don't want to go just yet. But if something happens today, I know He lives in my heart as my Lord and my Savior. I know that. Am I perfect? Doesn't have the... No, I'm covered by the blood and the grace of Jesus Christ. For by grace are you saved, not of works, lest any man should boast. And my job, my works are to cooperate with Him and be conformed to His image. I know that. But you know, there's a whole lot of people that don't have that kind of security and assurance in their heart. And if something happened today, are you ready? If not, I urge you this morning, come up and let's pray together after this service. Let's make sure you know. And then consider people all around. Are they sure? We are surrounded with a group of people, a lot of whom are beyond those ages. They need to find His good news, His deliverance, His forgiveness, His love, His joy, before it's too late. Here are some simple ways how to evangelize. Oh, let me, and I'll have a chart I'm going to show you too. You want some simple ways? Let me share some simple ways. 49% of people in this survey shared their faith in Christ in the past year simply by taking a non-Christian friend to church with them. Invite somebody to church. Let them hear the good news of Jesus. 78% of born-again Christians in the last year shared their faith in Christ by offering to pray for a non-Christian person who was in need of encouragement or support. 21% shared their faith by doing something really simple, sending a letter or an email. Come on, we can send all day long emails that are jokes, but how about sending one that shares a little bit of your love, faith, and encouragement in the Lord with somebody who doesn't know Him? Simple stuff, church. Was that complex? Did I just say anything complex? Do you need a doctoral degree to do any of that? Invite them to church, pray, send a letter of encouragement. I don't have the tools, I don't have the time, I don't have the temperament, I don't have the talent. Church, you don't need that, you just need the love. You just need the love. There's a group of people that we all are aware of that don't have all of those resources. Do you know that in China, 10,000 people a day surrender their life to Jesus Christ? And one other amazing statistic. Do you know that 67% of all humans who have ever lived from AD 30 on to the present day have never even heard the name Jesus? Church, we got a job to do. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Look at each other and say, we got a job to do. We got a big job. But I want to make it simple today. This is interesting. Thank you, Pat. I'll borrow this for just a moment. I don't know. Can you see that? Okay. Yeah, I should let Pat do this, clearly. No surprises. Look at this. Evangelism statistics. At what age is outreach most effective? How old are people when they get saved? Age 0 to 4, 1%. Not too many. Come around this way, age 4 to 14, 85% of people who give their life to Jesus give their life to Jesus at that age group. That's now called the 4 to 14 window. They've named it. Watch this, age 15 to 30, 10%. Age 30 plus, how many of those folks are in this area? Age 30 plus, 4%. How many want to increase those odds, those statistics? Let's bring that percentage a lot higher. Another survey by the International Bible Society indicated that 83% of all Christians make their commitment to Jesus between the ages of 4 and 14 when their children are early youth. Barna Research Group surveys demonstrate American children ages 5 to 13 have a 32% probability of accepting Christ. Youth or teens aged 14 to 18 have only a moving target, isn't it? A 4% probability of doing so. Age 19 and over have just a 6% probability of becoming Christians. Well, I don't believe those odds. And I believe God's a lot more able than that. Amen? And we're going to do our part to make sure we increase those statistics. What's our goal? For everybody to come to Jesus by some means, by all means, save some. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. Who desires all men to be saved, to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. Peter 3, verse 9. 1 Peter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 2 Timothy 4, verse 5. Paul's in Scripture, or Scripture, an encouragement, his urging to his protege in the faith, Timothy. Timothy, work at bringing others to Christ. Do the work of an evangelist. Complete the ministry God has given you. What's God's heart this morning? Love your friend like God does. Love your friend like Jesus does. 10,000 baby boomers a day are turning 65. In the next 10 years, retirees are coming back from Arizona and Nevada to cooler climates like Washington State and into resort locations. Church, we are trying to do our best to respond to God, to be here, to be ready to minister to those whom God already has here and to those whom He's going to bring. Are you excited to do it? Are you excited to do it? Come on, let me see your show of hands. How many want to minister to people and help them find Jesus? David Crabtree said, since 86% of people who come to Christ are won through the witness of a friend, relative, associate, or neighbor, no church can complain about a lack of resources for evangelism. Every Sunday, this pastor says, I'm looking at and preaching to my evangelism program. And the article was called Evangelism in Smaller Churches. Now, I know we're a mega church, but I felt this might apply. We do have a need in our area for people to come to Jesus. Many of the people who we know attended church as they grew up. Now, there are a lot of young kids today who have never been to church. But a lot of the people we associate with in this area went to church and stopped going because life got too busy and too full, and they might simply need a loving person to just re-invite them and welcome them. Church, can we all be welcoming to people who come? Sure. Reach out in love. Now, I want you to just bow your head for one moment, and I want you to just think of one person, just one, that you might even simply invite to church. Pray for. Encourage in the Lord. You've heard the phrase, each one, reach one. Now let me see your eyes. I'm going to tell you a little story. I was in a discussion just the other day. We close. Elaine, we're going to play a song, so you won't have to come just yet. Thank you. We'll give her a vacation every now and then. I was in a discussion with a person who has been involved in an awful lot of surveying, media work, etc. And he told me, we were just talking, and I was on the phone with him, and I started taking notes. And I finally interrupted him. I said, I hope you don't mind. I'm taking notes on what you're saying because it's so powerful and has application. There was a study done to try to check the compassion level of people. And the study, they threw a website up, and it was dealing with Darfur and the terrible travesty that has taken place. And they set up a website telling about the tragedy, but the website had a picture of one little black girl who obviously had been through a lot of trauma. And they noticed that charitable contributions were flying out the roof. They were literally pouring in. After a few weeks of this, they changed. They said, well, this is an experiment. Let's see what happens. And they put up, instead of the picture, they put up graphs, bar charts and graphs about the terrible tragedy. I mean, the stories were powerful. Donations cut in half. The next week, they decided, okay, let's experiment some more. So they put up this picture of this little black girl and a graph. And I interrupted him and said, oh, I'll bet that worked great. I bet that did it. He said, no, they went down even further. A few weeks later, They tried another experiment. They said, okay, we'll try it this way. A picture of a little black girl who obviously had been through trauma and a little black boy together who had been through trauma. And I said, well, surely that must have accomplished it. He said, no, they went down even further. The conclusion to the study was this. People suffer from what's called a collapse of compassion when they feel like they have to try to reach more than one. Because people can reach one. Do you have just even one on your heart for whom you can pray?
The point is, if we feel like we have to reach everybody, we're overwhelmed. But if we can reach one, we can do it. Church, you can do it. We can do it. Turn to each other and say, you can do this. You can love people enough. You can love people enough to overcome the... You can love people enough like God loves them to help reach them. Now, next week is Pentecost Sunday. And we're going to go through over the next several weeks several different kinds of evangelism. It's really an incredible perspective when you take a look at the Scriptures. But we have to begin where God begins. Reach out in love. You play the song, please.